All right. As I mentioned last week, we get on our knees. We do something that's different than we do any other place that we ever enter. We're before the Holy God, and let's remember that we are in the presence of God. I'm going to ask you to do something else as well. And oftentimes, many times when I pray with my hands open, like this. Now, these aren't magical ways to do anything. There is no magic in being on your knees. There is no magic in having your hands open. But what it can remind you of is just posture sometimes remind you of a reality, a point to a reality. So when I have my hands open, there's nothing magical about it, except sometimes it's a reminder to me that when I come before the Lord, my hands must be open to give Him everything that I am. Every care that I have, every part of me that I don't want Him to touch, it's His. It's open. My hands are open. But it also is a reminder to me, and it's a kind of a symbol saying, I will receive what You give me. Because you can't receive something like this. You receive something like, oh, thank you. Someone says, here, this is for you. You say, oh, thank you, with your hands open. So I give it up to you, and the Lord always returns something. And it's just a symbol of saying, whatever it is that you have for me, I will receive it. And so before we go into the Word tonight, just for a very short time, because we're going to spend more time in our ministry groups, I'm going to ask that you pray with me. Remember the Holy God that we're before, the God who will answer prayers, and the God who loves when His children speak with Him. Okay, would you please? And so, just in a way that shows reverence, whatever way you want to do it, just whatever way you know is the best that you can give to God, okay? Hands open if you're willing to give and receive. Holy Father, those two terms right there are almost like contradictory, it seems. Because when we come before the Holy One, that's someone so otherly, so otherworldly, so different, so set apart, so pure, so righteous, so beautiful. And here we are, exactly the opposite. And then yet we call You Holy Father, and Father points to intimacy, to relationship, to governance, to protection, to closeness. And so we talk to You, God, as a holy other one, and then we talk to You as the one that is closest to us and closest to our hearts. Only in You can we have both those coexisting in one beautiful person, our Holy Father. And it is to You that we offer our praises, that we offer our lives, that we submit to, that we strive to live for. And we ask, O Father, that You would anoint the coming time that we have in hearing and looking into Your Word so that it governs the rest of the evening. Holy Spirit, we ask that You would work within us and that You would knock, that You would reach into the hearts of those that are Yours today and those who aren't yet, but that maybe it's their time. Lord, we just pray that You would lead. And we can do this and we can pray because of the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, who came to live, who came to die, who came to rise again, so that we can too. Because You live, we can live also. So we come, O God, asking You to bend our hearts and our wills to Yours this day. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Very briefly, I need you guys to listen to the message last week if you didn't, and review your notes if you did. Last week we spent nearly the entire time discussing what it would mean for us to be in Christ, because there's no way we can talk about the next part of our passage unless, of course, we know what it takes in terms of our being to be able to do that before we do and discuss our doing. So the being comes before the doing. Who we are always comes before what we do. And you have to know that.
because you're trained to do and then to gain favor, and you're trained to appease people. And all you guys, honestly, you have it down pretty good, because at church, you know how to put on the smile. You know how to put on the ha 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 ha, and then make old people kind of, oh, ka-ai, ka-ai. You know how to do all that. Oh, and then you know how to make the old people tell your parents, oh, good girl, good girl. You know how to do that. I know you know how to do it, and I've seen it. But many of you know that your hearts are far from what you do. Our being comes before our doing, and we have to remember that. And that being isn't found in your identity, in your family. It isn't found there. But a great start would be a solid family, but not everybody has that. But God is no respecter of persons or families in that sense, that He doesn't give people who come from a more stable, solid, maybe a Christian family, He doesn't give them an automatic pass. Every person on the planet who becomes a child of God has to be birthed the same way. And so we talked about that last week, how spiritual birth happens. And it doesn't happen by you deciding to be born. There's not one of you who decided to be born physically. Now, I tell you, if I had my druthers and I could have influence on how I was born, I would have been a little bit taller. My lower half, as my wife would remind me, happens to be in a more of a pear shape. Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And my kids will remind me, Dad, we got your legs. So maybe I might be a little taller. I might be a little thinner. I might jump a little better. Who knows? Maybe I might have a darker complexion so I could get a little bit more in the air and do what I really wanted to do in life, which was to be the original Jeremy Lin. But I didn't have a say in this. God made me the way I am, and I had no choice. I was born this way without any consultation with me. Spiritually, we must remember that nobody consulted with you either. If you are born again today, it is 100% because God decided to give you birth, spiritual birth, at the time He decided, through the means He decided, in the way He decided. Now, some of you come in all different ways. Most of you here, I don't think, have come yet. Some came last week, so praise God for that. But we have no idea when the Holy Spirit's coming. But when it's your time, it's your time. You just don't know. I remember praying with Karis's dad to receive Christ when he was in this youth group. And didn't know, crying, didn't know it was going to happen that day. But it happened that day. We don't know. That's God's sovereign choice, and it's humbling. Because nobody can say, because I'm righteous enough to have faith in God. No, you aren't. You are born with no faith in God. You are born not a friend of God. God decided to make you His friend by birthing spiritual birth within you. And then, when He gave you spiritual birth, just like when you were born physically, and He gave you physical gifts and talents and abilities, He gives those He spiritually birthed spiritual gifts as well. That's kind of a nutshell. We go into more detail last week, but that's in a nutshell, and that's where we are today. And so I want you to turn to our passage today, and this is really going to be really a short time here, I promise. Turn to our passage, Romans chapter 12. Because I don't think the passage is rocket science. And so I think we needed the background and of the message, and on the blog is the message with the table of contents of every part of the explanation of what we covered last week, so you can go exactly to the right point that you want to review over again. But once you know that well, then you can go to this passage, these verses, and it can be pretty quick. Now, I do have a whole lesson on this, so I could expound on this. And maybe someday we can. Maybe in the small groups we can. But we don't have to today. God has given some of you spiritual gifts. And those of you who are not children of God yet, you do not have spiritual gifts. Because you're not alive spiritually yet. And if you're not alive spiritually, you can't have anything if you're not alive. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." You were born dead in your trespasses and sins. Born spiritually dead. Still born, as it were, spiritually. It wasn't the way it was in the garden, but after the fall, every human that is born spiritually is born dead to God. So when we say you're spiritually dead, it doesn't mean that you don't have a spirit. You have a spirit. Everyone has a spirit. But is that spirit alive to God? The Bible says, no, it is not at birth. And that's why we are immediately and at once enemies with God, because if we're born, we're born shaking our fists to God like that. Immediately. And so God has to change your heart and then breathe that life into you and then start you on that journey of being a child of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Starting with verse 3, which is what Daniel covered, but let me just go through it. Follow along. It says, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment." Immediately what Paul says is this, "For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." What is Paul saying there? Paul is saying that if God did not give me grace, I couldn't even say this to you. See, he says, "For through the grace that was given me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think." Because Paul is saying, when I did not have that grace, I thought more highly of myself than I ought to think. And he chronicles that in Philippians chapter 3, which I don't have time to go over now. But Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, Paul chronicles his lineage. Basically, Paul says, if any man has a reason to boast in his accomplishments, in his spirituality, in his churchiness, it's me. He says, if you have something to boast about, I far more. He says, there's really nobody who can compete and compare with me in terms of fulfilling the law, in terms of whose tribe they were from. He says, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I didn't even have any choice in that, but I was born in the tribe. That when they went to find the first king of Israel, which tribe did they go to? Benjamin. That's my tribe, he says. As to zeal, I was circumcised the eighth day when you're supposed to. As to zeal, I was a persecutor of these Christian people. He said, I have all the lineage. I have the rank, I have the right, I have the everything. And he says, I used to count it as righteousness on the asset column of my balance sheet. Now, since I've been born again, I realize that all my accomplishments, all the resume stuff that you guys are building for your college resume stuff, all that stuff, he says, that was on my asset column. And now I realize it's in my liability column. That in my economy, it's an asset. In God's economy, it's a liability. Those things I actually take some pride in. I actually take some value in. And the thing is, the more successful you are, or the more you accomplish or achieve, the more you rely on it. The more you rely on it, the less you rely on God. And some of you are like blowing me off. Yeah, right. You will have to face this yourself, or you can believe what the Scripture says. But Paul says this. These things that we're building those high SAT scores for, we're building these club presidencies for, we're building all this so that we can kind of puff ourselves up. Paul says, I had so much more of that than you guys, and you know what? I found it was dumb. He said, compare it to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And when he says no, it's an intimate kind of no. It's not a knowledge like that. It's not some sort of proposition, but there's an intimate knowing. And when now that I know Christ Jesus my Lord, he says, all that stuff is skubalon in the Greek. Skubalon is the term for unspeakable filth. It's the literal term for dung, for excrement. And he says, all the accomplishments, all my awards, everything, dung. Worse than dung. We've been in the home of the greatest coach of all time, as some of you know, Coach John Wooden. When you go into his home, and we've been there dozens of times, and when my kids were little, including Daniel when he was a little guy, and Angela when she was really a little, and so my kids would roam around his place, you know, and we're always really nervous, because what are they going to do? And then he's got awards everywhere. And then I turn my head, and my boys are in his closet. And he's like 90 years old, 89, 90 years old. And I say, boy, get out of there. What's in there? And it's all these trophies, all these awards. All these, I go, oh, no, they're going to break Coach Wooden's trophies. And he says, Arthur, calm down. If they break it, I won't miss it. He says, he's got hundreds of awards in there. He says, I won't miss it, because that's not where his treasure is. There are only a couple of awards that really, really meant a lot to him. One was the Presidential Medal of Freedom that actually he put on Sandra's neck, and so she got to wear it. But I won't miss it, because they don't really mean anything. All they are, if you know Coach Wooden's Pyramid of Success, success really isn't the attainment of those things. It's learning how to be successful within. And those who are successful within tend to be successful without. You can't help it. But what does success really mean? It really means knowing who you are and who God is and where this all stands. And Paul says, I didn't know that until the Lord knocked me out, raised me up, blinded me, and showed me who I am. And ever since that day, he said, all my awards and legacies and accomplishments, skubalon. So he goes and says, and so that's why he says, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly. I can only say this through grace. But then later on, he goes in verse 6. Verse 6. Does everybody see it? Look at verse 6. He says, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Again, the gifts that we have, and each of us here has, physically or spiritually, depending on if you're born again or not, is also through grace. In verse 3, Paul says it's through grace given to me. Grace. Even our faith, he says. Our faith, that is our belief in God. That is our trust in God. Even that is not your own. Your belief in God is because He opened your eyes and He made you believe. He gave you the eyes to see. We can't even say, well, God did everything, but I believed. We can't even say that, because He said, even my faith is a gift of God. I mean, it's all God. It's all about God. And so he says, even the gifts that we have here, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, then he says this, let each of you exercise them accordingly. We're going to have an opportunity in a few minutes to begin exercising those gifts for the betterment of his kingdom come, for the betterment of this group, for the betterment of one another, for those outside of here, for those outside of our church. But we're going to start trying to exercise, at least begin the process and the journey of exercising these gifts in a corporate way. Okay, but let's take a look at what it says. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. Before we go into what these are here, or at least explained by Paul, let's remember this. I shared last week that you can only talk about gifts rightly if the core belief or core understanding, core lifestyle is in place. Because it's like this. If you don't have the core understanding in place, then what you will have is people exercising gifts for their own purposes. And then so you have a pinky here, like Alyssa, it's like she's got pinkiness. But then Jason has thumbness. And Jason's thinking like, boy, I got a really important part. You can't do anything without your thumb. You can't grab anything without your thumb. And he's thinking like, thumb, important. And Alyssa's going like, yeah, but what's prettier, a thumb or a pinky? And you can't do really that much without the pinky either. It's important, and you don't do your job well unless you got the pinky. So, huh. And then everyone's entitled, and then I'm not even going to go to the middle finger thing because that has too many connotations. But, you know, then everybody kind of has their own idea of their own gift. And then, oh, yeah, but then it's part of a hand. And you got to remember, it's part of a whole. And that's what he's saying here. Oh, yeah, you got the feet. Oh, yeah, you're the, you know, let's say we're a face. And you're the nose, and you're the eyes, and you're the ears, right? And it's like, wow, ears are amazing. You couldn't hear anything without me. Well, you couldn't smell anything without me. And it's true. And it doesn't even matter unless we all work it together under one auspices of that. And so, of course, we know what that means. We know that there's no team without all the different players. And then, you know, Karis knows her. She's on a softball team and everything like that. And she knows that, hey, if everybody tries to play the same position, that'd be pretty stupid. If you don't have a setup man, then who's going to deliver? I mean, everybody knows it all works that way, okay? But it cannot work that way if we're not on the same page, heeding the same coach, listening to the same structure, instructions, and believing the same thing with the same goal in mind. Your gifts will be about yourselves if it isn't under God's auspices. And anybody who exercises gifts that isn't under God's leading, it becomes a stench to him. The world may say, oh, wow, look at you. God will say, oh, wow, look at you. You stink. Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to clamor for? He says, exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, if that's your gift, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, well then in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. He who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. If you're going to give, give freely. Give generously. Give like God gives. If you're going to show mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Don't do it. All right, I forgive you, I guess. Don't do it again. And if you ever do it again, you know, I mean, it's like, and then next week it's like, hey, you remember how you did that to me? I just want you to remember. That's not with cheerfulness. If you're going to show mercy, do it with cheerfulness and let it be. Any gift that you have has to point to the giver of that gift so that people can see what that looks like and feels like. That God is clear, the teacher. That God speaks directly in the prophecy. That God is a giver, so he gives. That he does show mercy. You know, let it be in a way that people can see what God is like. Not how good you are. And so, as we head into the rest of our time today, basically it's saying, do everything you do heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do it for the glory. Do it with God in mind. And so God says the greatest commandment is to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself, that the two are inseparable. You love God, you love your neighbor. You love God, you love your neighbor. You love your neighbor, then you love God. There's no such thing as either one divorced from the other. But it all is to the glory of God. And to the betterment of men, so that men may taste and see how good the Lord is. So question for you. When people taste you, what are they tasting? How does it taste? Do they taste saccharine, sugary stuff that isn't really of the Lord, but is of you? Or do they taste bitterness, and you think that all bitterness is bad? It's not, because the Lord also has bitterness. But there's a godly, righteous bitterness. There's a bitterness from eating dirt, and then there's a bitterness from maybe broccoli that you don't quite exactly like, but you know it's good for you. What kind of taste are they tasting from you? We have groups today that we're going to break into that will be planning, and what you will be doing for 50 minutes or so is just start planning, discussing how your particular ministry group that you will be a part of. I'm going to ask you to select one today. It doesn't mean you can't participate in others. You can, but there will be one group that you will participate in to be part of the planning for. So for the rest of the year. On the blog is a reminder of how all these things flow, but let me just tell you, we've got upward engagement with God, outward engagement with the community, downward engagement with those that the world doesn't take care of, that God instructs the church to take care of. We've got inward, taking care of the brethren, the body. We've got outreach, which will be kind of, you know, God is a creator. God is a beautiful. He doesn't just give you mush every day. He doesn't just give you jook, porridge, rice every day. He has all sorts of flavors in His grace and His mercy. And so art is kind of a way to kind of capture and display and show the vibrancy and the texture and the colors and just bring like, wow, this is really cool, an aspect to serving the Lord instead of just serving Him out of your will and your duty, but also out of like the sheer beauty, and I can't help it. Art Reach will be one. And then we're also trying to launch and get off the ground the cinematic aspect of being able to tell stories. And so we saw the movie a month or two ago that was produced by the cinematic people. And so we've got, inside the Upward, we've got worship and stuff. So there's different ways to do this. But here's what we want you to do. I want you to think about this. And as you decide which group to go to, I don't want it to be like, you know what? I don't really have any talent in this area, but yeah, I'd like to try it. Why not? Have some fun. I don't want it to be like that. I want you to see, as the verse, the passage says, for through the grace given, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise your gifts accordingly. Now, here's how we do it. We're not going to pretend that all of you are spiritually born again, because you're not. Most of you here aren't. We welcome you here, and we love you here, and we pray for you, and we hope one day you will come and surrender your life to the Lord. We know most of you aren't. So we're not asking you to be spiritual when you're not. But we are asking to say, hey, can you use the gifts you have to at least give input, to give feedback? At least you're here because you are at least open-minded about it. You're at least open to not only hearing the good news, but also promoting it. You may not be there yet yourself, but it's something you support and you're just waiting for your time. You can still support this. This is fine. We're not going to pretend that this is, you know, just for spiritual people, because then who would we have? Secondly, the gifts given to you. We're a family here. We're a family. Let's better the family. Let's unite the family. Let's forge the family forward. Let's not only grow the intimacy we have with one another, but then let's work together, link arms, and let's make a difference out there. Let's make a difference on your campuses. Let's reach out there, and let's make TD a place that we can be proud to be a part of, so that, hey, not only are we kind of content to be within ourselves with our own friend groups, but we care about the losses. We care about people who are hurting. We care about people who are going through tough times and who could use the grace of God. And why don't you be a channel through which that grace is given? We want to be. And so we can plan some of that here. Those who have like no leg to stand on left in society. Like Evan said, there are people who are homeless out there that we met who have college degrees. A couple of wrong decisions, or not even wrong decisions, but coming from a family that doesn't have any room for them. You realize you're one decision away, or you're one accident away from your parents, your family, like being in a car crash, leaving you alone, and who's going to take care of you? Some of these people are there because of that. Could they use help? Could they use a kind word? Could, like you said, could they just use someone to be kind to them? How about those with orphans? Where would you be today if you didn't have a family? Can I ask you? Where would you be today without your family? Gabby, where would you be without your family today? Certainly not where you are, right? What a privilege. What grace is that? And we've got kids out there who don't have any parent, any sibling. What would you do if that were you? Do you think we can get outside of our bubbles to actually have a little bit of thought and heart for some of these people? How about those who had a family and they died and are now widows and are just now kind of wasting on the earth here in a way, kind of like, what do I do? How about reminding them that you do a lot? How about letting them know, you know what, you're still amazing. And we want to come here, be with you. We want to hear from you. We want to be friends with you. You think a person who used to have friends but doesn't have friends anymore and all their friends died out, you think they could use a warm hand, that they could, a warm touch, a prayer, a kind gesture, just a pat on the back, human touch? You think that, is that too much to ask from you? There's so many ways, right? So many ways. Let someone know they're not forgotten. Or how about if your gift is in arts or in you have an amazing ability to illustrate and maybe display things that a lot of people can't, because I can't draw. But my daughter can draw. Rebecca can draw. Some of you can draw. Maybe you can highlight things that, oh, wow, that highlights that aspect of God's grace. Or some of you can sing. Some of you can play music. It's like it makes us be able to worship better. So this is what we're talking about. There are ways to do this. Let's plan for how this year is going to go. And so here's what I want you to do. I'm going to name them, and then I'm going to ask you to join this group, and you will be led by the group leaders, and then we'll move from there. Okay? Any questions? Okay. So what we're going to do is the upward side engagement with God in terms of teaching and that type of thing, it's pretty, that one we're going to put on the side for a little bit, because actually our outward person is not here today. So I'm going to slide over from there to the outward today. And so, but part of upward engagement, there's the theological part, and then the other part is the worship part. Actually, Robert can fulfill both actually quite well. So, but Robert, would you mind just, if you have an interest in serving musically or playing or having an input musically here, or even teaching or whatever, you know, just whatever you have in mind in terms of how we can engage with God better, that'll be, you go to Robert and it's just, you can start talking. And have discussion so he can know of your interest and he can share with you. Outward is going to be for those who want to plan some of the activities, some of the ways in which we can provide outlets out into the community, into your schools, into your friend groups, ways we can take the blessing of God and take it to them. Ways we can do that. We have already an event coming up that we will be participating in, and we'll share, but that outwardness of being able to reach out and find a way to care for those around us. Evangelize, defend, share, come alongside, that's outward, okay? So I will be heading that one up today. Downward is the ministry to those who really need a hand, who really need, that's a great ministry because it's a humbling one. Calvin and Megan will be leading that one. Not only includes the orphanage as well as the care center, but also other opportunities that will be coming or that you can provide as ways to do this. Includes our sponsorship of our kids in Africa and China. So there's a lot there. Inward is caretaking the culture within TD, reminding you members of your place. And so it's an intimate part of building the culture and the camaraderie here. Kathy will be leading that one. Okay, so that's what you go with. Art reach, I ask you if you have artistic skills in some way, shape, or form, whether it's drawing, painting, or writing, or illustrating, or some way of, you know, where you can see the necessity of art to display the beauty of God. Rebecca's going to be leading that. Those who would be willing to participate in helping with the cinematic ministry we're trying to get started. Sean is here, and he's in the back, I think. Yep, there he is. Okay, and I'm going to ask you to go visit Sean to see if you can help participate and get some of this off the ground. So we've got worship, we've got outward, we've got inward, we've got downward, we've got artward, we've got movie word, I don't know. Any questions?
Who's doing upward?
Upward?
Yeah.
Yeah, Robert. Judy on outward. I'm doing that. Okay. So let's do this. I will let maybe a couple of groups stay in here, or because I think it's going to be too loud. I don't even know how, but there should be some rooms probably available. Okay, so let me start with this. Let's go with the downward. So Calvin and Megan, I'm going to give you guys the first crack to take a group and go and plan. So if you, only one ministry right now helping to plan and helping to you know, bless those in need, would you please get up and go with Megan and Calvin? You might say to yourself, wait, I don't know how to evangelize, or I'm scared to do apologetics, or I don't know how to be bold enough to do this or that. I understand, but let me ask you this. Can you at least be a friend to someone who needs a friend? That's this. You don't have to be intimidated for this one. So if would you stand up if you're willing to help start heading up the downward ministry and start planning for that? Okay. Those of you go. And then why don't you guys head out the door? Head out the door. Okay. Okay. All right. Inward.